My privilege today to share with you from one of my favorite texts in all the Gospels. This is the text where Thomas, one of Jesus' disciples, gets his nickname that we all know, but that I want to give him another chance today to earn a different name as we kind of reread this character in this text. I'm going to read from the 20th chapter of John, beginning with the 19th verse. John chapter 20, verses 19 through the end of that chapter, 19 through 31. If you want to follow along, I invite you to, or simply listen to these words and let the Word of God glow in you as you hear these words. John 20, with verse 19 beginning. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them. And he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And so the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and in his side, I will not believe." A week later, Jesus' disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, Thomas, and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these things are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in His name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If I were to mention the names of certain disciples to you and ask you to write down the first word that comes to your mind with each name, it's unlikely that you would all come up with the same words. Like, for example, if I were to mention the name of Judas, some of you would write down the word betray, but not all of you. If I were to mention Simon Peter, some of you might write down the word fisherman or faith, but not all of you. If I were to mention the names of James and John, some of you might write down the phrase sons of thunder, but not all of you. But when I mention the name Thomas, there is little question about the word that most of you would write down. Go ahead and say it now. Let's get it over with. Doubting Thomas. Indeed, we've so closely associated Thomas with that word that we've coined a phrase to describe him. You got it. Doubting Thomas. But it's interesting to notice that are, and you may be surprised by this as I was, in the first three Gospels, we are told almost nothing about Thomas. His name appears usually in the list of disciples, and it's pretty far down in the list. We really don't know much about him at all until in John's Gospel, when he emerges as a distinct personality. But even then, there are only a few paragraphs about him. There's not a lot to know about this disciple in the Bible, but there's more than one depiction. And I want to share that with you this morning. It's not just about his doubting. That's not all there was to Thomas, even though that's what tradition has called him and how tradition has remembered him. Like this. When Jesus turned his face toward Jerusalem and the disciples thought it would be certain death for all of them, surprisingly, it was Thomas who said, "Then let us go too, that we may die with him." And you might say that's a negative attitude, but it's a boldness and a willingness to be a confident disciple of Jesus. Let us go with him to Jerusalem too. It was a courageous statement, you would agree. But that's not what we remember him for. We also fail to point out that in this story of Thomas's doubt, we have the one place in all the Gospels where the divinity of Christ is made crystal clear in words. It's unequivocally stated. It's interesting, if not, isn't it? It's interesting that the story that gives Thomas his infamous nickname of Doubter is the same story that has Thomas making an earth-shattering confession of faith. Look at his confession. "My Lord and my God." It's one thing for a Jewish man to call Jesus Lord, but it was quite another thing for him to be on his knees and say, "My God, you are my God." Because in the Jewish tradition, nothing came before God. No person could possibly step into that role. And yet right here early in the tradition, we have Thomas referring to Jesus as God. I don't think he meant to say, "My God," as though he was amazed and was using that as a byword. He meant to confess, "You are my Lord. You are my God." For Thomas, for anyone to say that a person was God would have been off the map sacrilegious in terms of the Jewish history. It was a huge risk for Thomas to make that claim and to say those words. And we have it recorded right here in John's Gospel. Why can't we focus on that, on his boldness and his faith, rather than his doubting? "My Lord and my God," those are not the words of a doubter. Those are deep, strong, and risky confessions of faith. And yet there's an honesty in Thomas expressing his doubts. Perhaps in some ironic way, we come to confidence by being honest about our doubts and by asking for help. Maybe from encouragement from friends, or maybe asking God to help us. Or maybe it's that owning our doubts, that speaking, giving voice to our doubts, launches us upon a search for truth. And such a search gives us a new confidence in that truth. It's said that if a person will begin in certainties, he will end in doubts. And that if a person begins with doubts, you can grow through them and end in certainties. That seems ironic, but it's true. I don't know what you think about Thomas, but I kind of like him. I kind of care for Thomas in a way. I felt sorry for him because of the label that was attached. And yet, I think it's profound that he rose above that and that Jesus affirmed him. And I think that's the most miraculous part of the story. Because in this story, if you follow it through, this was probably the evening of Easter. And Jesus had appeared. Jesus was appearing to the disciples and proving his identity by showing them the nail scars. And it was a glorious revelation, because they were stuck in this upper room, or at least that's where I imagined them, kind of licking their wounds. In one place it even says that they had the doors locked for the fear of those who might find them. They were not expecting Jesus to come, and yet, through locked doors, he did, and presented himself to them. That's a miracle in itself. But the really miraculous part is that it happened again. But you see, Thomas wasn't there the first time. We don't know where he was. He may have gone fishing. He may have given up. But the disciples told him about it, and he said, "I can't believe that until I see it for myself." And a week later, Jesus appeared to them again. I believe that is the miraculous part. That is the part that shows a full measure of grace, the grace of God through Jesus Christ. That is the gift for all of them, yes, but especially for Thomas. I know some of you have your doubts. And I think we have to grow through our doubts in order for our faith to become stronger. That's been the way it has been for me over and over again. And I expect that you are on the same kind of path. And sometimes we circle back and we lose ground and we come around again. And we live through the same challenges, the same questions, and we grow a little bit more each time. I tell you, the fact that Jesus came back a second time is the truest miracle. And I feel full of praise for the Lord because he came back just for Thomas, just for me, just for one, just for you. Jesus cares for each of us personally and individually. And Jesus cares about those we care about, our families, our children beside us, our grandchildren who live in another county. Jesus cares for each one and returns for each one, that we might know him, that we might fall on our knees, even though we may have doubted before, and confess that he is Lord and God, to the glory of God the Father, and for the grace and the gift of you and me and all people. Thanks be to God for this gift of grace. Amen.